So today, Mother's Day, and I'm not necessarily preaching. A few years ago, I decided, unless God really moves me to, I'm not going to leave a sermon series to preach a specific message for Mother's Day or Father's Day or whatever. And I'm always amazed as I've been faithful to just follow what God's laid out that it usually ends up being something that applies anyway. So today we're continuing in Philippians, and we're going to learn how we can find joy in the here and now. Okay, so the here and now, this moment. How can you find joy in this moment? How can you find joy in the present, the things that are going on right now, right here? One of the greatest things we have in Christianity is hope. Amen? I mean, hope is amazing. Hope is a great, great thing. We have something to look forward to, right? I hope so. All right, I hope we have something to look forward to, because if we don't, then we don't have hope. So we've got something to look forward to, and because we have something to look forward to, it gives us a little better motivation to keep pressing forward, to keep going at it, to keep fighting the fight, because we know what's coming, right? We know what we have coming our way, even if it's not here yet. That's hope because of our faith in Jesus Christ. We know that Jesus changes things, right? Okay? We know that by the power of his Spirit, we know that we can overcome. I mean, these are great things. These are great things that we have. We know that there's going to be a day, hallelujah, that we're going to be in heaven with him forever. Amen? Okay, so we have these things to look forward to. And sometimes we can spend a little too much time looking forward to these things, okay, to be honest. But they're great things to look forward to. And it's truths like these that cause us to look forward, okay? When things aren't good around us, we can look forward and we're like, okay, but I know what's coming my way. I know that my God is working on my behalf. I know that things are going to change. However, we can look to those things. We can be encouraged by what is to come, but we can't necessarily escape and leave the right here and the right now. All right? We've got to still focus on what's going on here. And so Paul kind of hits on this here in Philippians chapter 1, starting in verse 19. He says, "For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death." Paul, in his present time, in his current situation, in his here and now, is dealing with some very difficult things. He's dealing with some trying times, some real issues. And I love the pattern that he lays before us, where he says, I am going through these things and I'm really relying on two things. Okay? I'm counting on these two things to deliver me, to get me through this situation. The first thing is your prayers. Right, the prayers of God's people. He's like, I'm in this situation. My here and now stinks. It's kind of hard. It's difficult. And I'm relying on the prayers of God's people. This is important because it's part of what will deliver him from this situation. And the second thing is even greater, even more amazing. He's relying on the supply of the Holy Spirit. He's like, you know what? It's dark as it looks, as hard as it looks. I've got my people praying for me, God's people, and then I've got the supply of the Holy Spirit within me, right? So he says, we've got these things. He says, because of this, he says, I know that it will turn out for my deliverance. I've got a confidence. I have this great knowing that I will be delivered. I will be saved. I will be vindicated. It's this confidence in God that God has called Paul. God knows Paul's situation, and Paul knows that God has sent him on a mission. Paul knows that God has sent him to do some things that's not complete, and because of that, he's going to get out. How many of you believe that God has a plan for your life today? Right? Do you believe that God has a mission for you? Okay, now how many of you believe that that mission's complete? That you're done? That it's over? It's not. Right? It's not over. It's still in process. And so you might be going through something. You might need deliverance. Let's look at the words of Paul here. the first thing that you need is you need the prayers of God's people. Right? You need to have the prayers of God's people. This is why we do things like we have a prayer list. Right? This is why we do things like put the elders' numbers on the back of the bulletin. This is why we do things like Thursday night prayer. This is why, hopefully, we do things like have relationships with other believers, right? Because it's not just the pastor or the church leaders that can pray for you. It's any born-again believer can pray for you because they're all filled with the Holy Spirit, okay? And so we do these things because here's what happens. When we're in those situations and we know that people are praying for us, especially when we know, okay, you can pray for people and they don't know you're praying, but when they know, what happens is hope arises, right? Faith arises. This is what people do for us, okay? This is an outward thing that happens in our lives that affects us inwardly and helps us through our here and now, through our present time. The second thing is the supply of the Holy Spirit, this power that we receive through our connection to Jesus Christ. Now, this thing is amazing because this right here is what gives us the confidence and the victory rise up inside of us. And we're like, wait a minute, I don't have to bow to this thing. I don't have to become a victim here because I'm a victor. Okay, it's by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is what God does for us. And this is a inward thing that happens that affects us outwardly, right? Because when it affects us inwardly, it changes the way that we behave in our here and now, in our current situation. So if we have the prayers of the people of God, if we've got the supply of the Spirit of God, we know where our future is at, right? We're not bound by our situations. We're not stuck in the here and now. We don't have to worry about it. Hallelujah. How many of you like not having to worry about your here and now and your situation? Okay, it gives us the time to find joy in our here and now. And Paul said, Christ will be magnified in my body. In this body, right? This body that we're in. This body, here's the thing about this body. This body is the thing that other people identify us with, right? I see Bud. I see him in his physical body. Like, I know that that's Bud Carson because I know what he looks like. If Craig comes in and tries to tell me he's Bud, I'm going to be like, no, you're not. Like, you're Craig. Right? The body is what people use to identify each other. That's how we know who is who. With our bodies, we live on this earth. Paul says, magnify Jesus. Magnify him. You know what that means? That means to declare him great. To declare that Jesus is great. This is to celebrate who Jesus is, what he has done. This is to give him glory and praise. And so it's speaking of this here and now, that while we're in this body, while we're in this life, here on this earth, we can't look so far ahead that we neglect and look past the things that are right here, right now, in front of us. With our life, in this body, we should be declaring that Jesus is great. How do we do that? We need that hope to arise. We need that faith to arise. We need that confidence to arise. We need that victory and that victor spirit in us to arise. We've got to declare that he's great. We've got to celebrate what he has done. Hallelujah. Right? Has anybody got something to celebrate? A reason that God has done something in your life that you have to give him praise and glory for today. It's speaking of these things. And he says, and not only will I do this, will I magnify God. I'll magnify Christ in this body. But he says, I'll do it whether in life or in death. Whether in life or in death. Everything that I do, from now until I'm not in this body anymore, and we're going to see where he goes with that, that's far greater, right? But while I'm here, whether in life or by death, in everything I do, he says in verse 21, for to me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. To live is Christ, to die is gain. To live is Christ. You know what that means? It means this life is all about Jesus. What were we singing earlier, right? All this is for you, right? All this is for you. To live is Christ because life is about Christ. We looked at just a few weeks ago, it says that all things were created through him and for him. All things were created through him and for him. He paid the price for our sin to redeem us from the curse of the law and from death. Right? All things are for him. When we say that to live is Christ, we're saying that life is found in Jesus, right? Real life, like life that doesn't end. It's found in Jesus, not in stuff. It's not found, unfortunately, even in people, unless it is the Spirit of God working through that person, right? It's found in Jesus. He's the source of that hope and joy that we speak so much about. So if life is found in him, then as I live this life to focus on what is in front of me, I've got to do it for Jesus. I've got to do it for his cause. I've got to do it for his glory. Do you know that you can be an amazing parent and not do it for your kids? Do you know you can be an amazing husband and not do it for your wife? Do you know you can be an amazing employee and not do it for your employer? You can be an amazing friend and not do it for your friend? Because see, here's the thing. When we're doing those things for Jesus and him above all else, it blesses our children and it blesses our wife and it blesses our employer and it blesses our friend, right? We do it for him and all the other things work out, right? Seek first my kingdom and all these things will be added to you. Right, all the things that we need in life, they're all added when we seek his kingdom first. We do them for Jesus because Jesus is life. And when we do it for him, we do it without selfish motives. Right? How many of you have ever had somebody do something nice for you and the very first thing you think is, okay, what do you want? Right? What are you up to? If it's your kid, it's what did you do? Right? Or what did you not do? Maybe if it's your husband, it's what did you do or what did you not do? But we think that a lot of times, what is the selfish motive? What's the reasoning behind you doing this thing for me? Well, I'm going to tell you that if they're doing these things for Jesus, they don't have selfish motives. They just want to bless you. They just want to honor you. They just want to love you. They just want to treat you, right? We do them at a level that we can't do on our own because these things are done from a place of spiritual victory and by the love of God. So to live is Christ, find joy in the here and now. But it says to die is gain. Have you ever thought about death being an advantage, right? Gain is an advantage. It's something that is greater. It's something additional beyond what you currently have. But to die is gain. It is. It's weird, but it is. It's because to live is Christ, but when we die in Christ, when you die and you're a born-again believer, the thing is, now we are removed from all these earthly burdens. Hallelujah, what a glorious day. I mean, that's going to be great. We don't have these earthly burdens, and we completely focus on glorifying Jesus. Completely. Right? I mean, how many of you can completely focus on glorifying Jesus? For a moment, for a little bit, till this happens, and that happens, and this person comes, and this, you know, there's things that distract us, but on that day, right, when we are fully with him in heaven, there's going to be no distractions. You know why? Because all eyes are going to be on Jesus. All eyes are going to be on Jesus. There's nothing to distract you when everybody is going for the same thing. You know, when everybody is going the same way. And you know what? We're probably not going to get road rage. Hallelujah. I'm looking forward to that. The path to Jesus, I'm going to be in a... I don't know what God's doing in me because I do not like hordes of people, right? I do not like multitudes of people. I get like, give me space and get away from me. I get a little freaked out. When I was at Walmart this last week, it was, you know, there's not a good time to go to Walmart. Not if you want to go to Aldi too. If you want to go to Walmart at like midnight, you're okay. But if you want to go to Aldi too, there's not really a good time. And we were in Walmart and I'm telling you, I get around like just hordes of people and they're like all doing this and this and everybody's selfish, right? Everybody's, I got to get to where I got to get as quick as I can and all this stuff. Like I get a little bit freaked out, okay? And so I've gotten to where like I try to pray most of the time that I'm in there for myself, okay? And there was like, we're walking through there and they're playing music on the radio and I was kind of listening to it and then we walk by that Freosk thing. which is kind of cool if it works and it has something you want. You like scan an app and it gives you a free sample of something. But it's really loud. And so it starts like yelling at this side of me. All of a sudden they start announcing something from the intercom. And it was even louder than the free app. So I had these all these levels of stuff and it's all coming from different ways. I literally about had a mental breakdown. I'm like, what is all of this commotion, all of this noise? And there's people all around me. So I'm looking forward to that day in heaven when we're all going for the same goal. No distractions, no things that are pulling you all different ways for your attention. It's like, man, let's all go for Jesus. Let's all worship him. Let's all seek him and pursue him. It's going to be amazing. And it's going to be one of those things that I think that we will probably never on earth have a real true picture or grasp of what that's going to be like. It's going to be the most amazing thing we've ever experienced in our lives. So I look forward to that day. That's the gain in death, is that unhindered worship and glorification of Jesus Christ. Paul goes on to explain it, and he says in verse 22, but if I live on in the flesh, this means fruit from my labor. Yet what shall I choose? I cannot tell, for I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. See, here's the great thing about life. While we're still impacted by the things of this world, we have the opportunity to be useful, productive servants of the Most High God. Even while we're distracted by all these things, even while we're burdened by all these things, God still has a plan to use us and make us useful, productive servants of the Most High God. Do you know that he will use you? Right? He will use you. He will use you. Do you remember being a kid in school? And I remember in grade school, we moved here when I was in third grade, 1988. And I remember that first few days of class. I remember one time there was this boy that was supposed to take me to the bathroom. This must have been my first day, like show me where the bathroom was at, and he showed me where the girls' bathroom was at. It wasn't a real good start. But I remember getting back to class, and it's like, you know, the teacher's like, hey, I need somebody to hand out papers. And it's like, right, all the hands go up. Cheryl knows what I'm talking about, right? If you're offering, like, would you like to help me, help the teacher? The hands go up. Would you like to pass out these papers? Yes, everybody wants to pass out the papers. What about erasing the board? You guys probably don't even do that. Do you guys have boards? Neither one? Like, you still, like, write stuff on the boards? Skylar does. But it's like, I remember, like, getting to erase the board. It's like, who wants to? I'm like, I want to erase the board. This is the most amazing thing I've ever done in my life, right? But what were we wanting to do? We were wanting to help. We were wanting to be used. We were wanting to contribute to what was going on. What about being the line leader? It's like, are you kidding me? I get to lead the line? Like, this is the great, your day of being the line leader is like, that's the pinnacle of elementary school, of the whole year, is being the line leader. And it wasn't necessarily that you're in charge. It's that you're kind of like the first assistant to the teacher. It's like, man, it's like the teacher and then me, right? I am like the teacher's right-hand man right now. Everybody's got to follow me. You know why? Because she said so. Follow me. You do it under their authority. It's serving them. It's being used by them. And it made you so proud, so fulfilled, so delighted. Do you know that that's the same way that God uses us right now? Right, God uses people to do his things. He uses people because it's like, man, he's got the power, he's got the authority, and he says, hey, you, I need you to do this. I need you to do this for these people. I need you to reach these people. I need you to do this task. We're servants of the Most High God. He desires to use us. That's his plan for our life. We have that deep desire to be useful, to feel needed, and to be used. Everyone has it. You know what? No one really flourishes in feeling useless. Nobody. You might be thinking of somebody. It's like, well, they don't ever do anything. I'm telling you, they don't feel good about it. Nobody feels good about being useless. We all want to be useful. Nobody wants to be sitting on the sideline. Why is that? It's because God has put something in us, and his plan all along from the moment of our creation, from before our creation, was for us to be used by him to fulfill his plan. And so while we're here, know that there will be fruit from our labor. I mean, this is great that there will be fruit from our labor. There will be things produced from the things that you do. Let those things be for Jesus. Okay? There will be things produced from the things you do. This is good and bad. There will be things produced. Let the things that you do produce righteousness. Let them be things that produce things for Jesus. We're just here temporarily. It's okay to have that desire for that day when Jesus comes back. It is far greater. But in the meantime, you're right here, you're right now. Let's produce things for his kingdom. Verse 24, he goes on to say, Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. Remember, he said he was torn. He was hard-pressed between should I be here or not here? Should I go with Jesus? He says, I remain in the flesh because it's more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with all of you for all of your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. Paul yields his desire, right, his desire to be with Jesus for the sake of the church. He says, man, I would really rather be with Jesus. I really would. But because of you, right? Because I know that it's better for you, right? What's better for Paul? What's better for Paul is going to be with Jesus, right? No more of this distraction, no more of this burden, no more of this heartache that he carries on earth. But he says, but I know what you need, right? I'm fine staying here for you guys because you need it. It's better for you. Man, you tell me that that is not the attitude of Christ. It'd be much easier and much better for me if I go, but I'm staying because of you, because I care about you, because I'm putting you first. This is what God showed me in this is that every person has something to bring to the table. Right? Paul says, it'd be better for me if I went, but it's better for you if I stay. And because I value you, because I love you, because I care about you guys, because you guys all have something amazing to offer, like I'm staying. I'm staying because I need to pour into you and I need to build you up. I need to help you. Every person brings something to the table. Now you might be sitting here thinking you don't know what you bring to the table. Maybe you're thinking that what you bring to the table is not very good, but I'm going to tell you that you have gifts and talents that God has put in you that other people need. I believe that. I believe that every person sitting in here, every person listening online, that you have gifts and talents that God has put in you as an individual. Now, the problem is a lot of times we're wishing our gifts and talents were like the person sitting across the aisle, right? God has put gifts and talents in you for you to use specifically in the areas that he's going to give you opportunity because other people need those things. There's some of you that don't believe that today, but it's still true. Right? It's still true. You may not feel like you have a lot to offer, but I'm telling you that God says that you do have a lot to offer because he's given these things to you. Every time you're around others, listen, you contribute something to their life. Every time you're around other people, you contribute something to their life. Let it be something that adds value to their life. Let it be something that lifts them up, that encourages them, that helps them along, pushing forward. Because of that, he goes on and says, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or I am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. It says, let your conduct be that is worthy of the gospel of Christ. When we look at this here, this word conduct means, it's about citizenship. It kind of describes a person's life as a citizen. And if you remember, this is to the Philippians. This is to the church in Philippi. The church in Philippi, that colony was a Roman colony at this point in time when this letter was written. And they very highly thought of their Roman citizenship. Right? It was a big deal to be a Roman citizenship because who was in charge? Rome. Right? They're the big bully. So you wanted to be a Roman citizen at the time. And Paul reminds them, as proud as you are to be a Roman citizen, as he was also, as proud as that makes you, as much clout as that gives you, and as much advantage as that gives you, you've got to remember that what's most important is to have the conduct that is right as a citizen of the kingdom of God. He says, above all these worldly things that you can gain from being a Roman citizen, have a conduct as though your citizenship is in heaven, because it is. Philippians 3:20 in the Amplified says, but we are different because our citizenship is in heaven. And from there, we eagerly await the coming of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you different because your citizenship is in heaven? I hope so. I hope you can say that. I hope other people can say that. You know what? You're different. Right? Thank you very much. Right? Maybe they don't say it so kindly. Maybe you're weird. You're strange. Thank you again. My citizenship is in heaven. What do we think when people come here from other countries? You're weird. Right? You're kind of weird. You're not like us. That's how people ought to view Christians, in a good way, right? There's something different about you. Like, where are you from? I'm from heaven, right? That's where my home is at. That's where my citizenship is at. But it's true that we live for Christ, right? If we're a Christian, we should live for Christ. Life is about Jesus as our maker, as our Savior. Then it's true that the people in our life need our influence and our impact. The people in your life need your influence. They need your impact. And if we want to do something that matters, if we want that to be something that matters in their lives, we've got to let it be a life that is of someone who is a citizen of heaven. Let our conduct be worthy of the gospel. You remember from last week, the gospel is the power of God. Let your citizenship be worthy of the power of God. This means when you're around people and you impact them, let the Holy Spirit do that work through you to display the power of God in their lives. I don't know what that means for you. We all have different gifts. We all have different talents. We're all used in different ways and at different times. I'm not going to give you a list of you should do this, this, and this. I'm saying you need to be submitted to the Holy Spirit and say, God, what is your will? What is it that you desire for me to do, because I want to have an impact in these people's lives. It's an impact for the kingdom of God. I'm a citizen of heaven. He says, stand fast in one spirit, one mind. Stand fast in one spirit and one mind. Keep standing. There's another way you can say that. Keep standing for Jesus. The way that our world is, the things that we see around us, the burdens that you carry, you're here and now when it's hard and it's difficult, it's challenging and it's hard to find joy, keep standing for Jesus, right? Be persistent in all that you do. This is speaking of like a soldier standing their post, right? When a soldier stands his post, what can lure him away? What can drive him away? Nothing. Death, right? A soldier doesn't leave his post. He stands there. His job is to stand there and protect and to stand fast, to persevere. Even as people are approaching, even as attacks are coming, his job is to stand fast and do not be moved. Stand fast and protect and continue to protect our ground, protect our troops, protect our land. Why is this? It's his job to protect. It's his job to guard. You know what? The world needs this from God's people. The world needs God's people to protect and to stand their ground around the truths of God and who he really is and what he has really done and what he's going to do. Okay? We need this desperately. Our world needs this desperately. those around us need this, right? How many of you, there's people in your home that need this. There's people that you work with that need this. There's people that you go to school with that need this. This is our defensive strategy. Stand fast. Stand firm in your faith. And then he says, strive together for the faith of the gospel. Strive together. This means to struggle alongside somebody. Struggle alongside somebody. It's a team, right? It's why we are a body. It's why the church is so important, because we struggle together for victory against this common foe. It doesn't say to do it alone. You know what? I've yet to meet somebody that does it alone that is impactful for the kingdom of God. I've yet to meet somebody. If you can show them to me, I would, in all seriousness, I would love to hear their story. But I've yet to meet someone that is impactful for the kingdom of God and does everything alone. He doesn't say do it alone. He says do it together. And struggle here is not a negative term. It's not like we're struggling like the enemy's winning and we're losing like we're struggling. That's not at all what he's talking about. Struggle together. To struggle here means to contend, right? To strive, to push forward, to make a strenuous effort, right? It means get going forward, right? Whereas the standing firm is I'm standing my ground and I won't be moved. But this struggling together is we're struggling to move forward, but you know what? We're moving forward. We're advancing on the kingdom of darkness as the people of God, and we're doing it together. We've got to push hard forward for the faith of the gospel. This is our offensive strategy. Find joy in the here and now, knowing we're a citizen of heaven, right? Knowing we're a citizen of heaven, we belong to a heavenly kingdom, one that has a vast army that, hallelujah, you are a part of, right? And you have a role in. It's like you're a ground troop, but you have a mission and you have a plan and you have a team around you. Amen? Stand fast, strive together. The victory is ours. If I could have, Mark, would you get the ladies from the nursery and the children's church to come in as we get ready to close? Going on in verse 29, wrapping up here, he says, "For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here is in me." Paul takes us on this roller coaster. All of Paul's letters are kind of like this. It's like you got this great encouragement, and then what seems like, man, what happened? Like you're really encouraging us, and then now you're going to tell us about suffering, and you're going to tell us about how bad things are going to be. And then he takes you back up to the top, and it's always roller coaster. But he says, not only do you get to believe in Jesus, but you also get to suffer. Happy Mother's Day. This word in the Greek just means to be afflicted, right? It just means to have a significant experience. It means to be aware of. And so you're going to be afflicted. You're going to have things that are going to come against you. You're going to have a significant experience from time to time that maybe isn't so positive. But you're also going to be aware of what is going on. We're to be affected by the things of this life. We're going to be affected by things of this life, some good, some bad. It's a promise, okay? It's coming. It's going to happen. For the believer, many of these things are we have the protection of the Holy Spirit around us, right? Where it's like, if we're in the Spirit, they don't deeply hurt us. They don't deeply affect us like they do the rest of the world who doesn't know Jesus. Be aware of that. We've got to be aware that things that don't bother us or don't hurt us as deeply still do hurt and bother those who are apart from Christ. We got to be aware that this is the same conflict that has been since Paul's day. But we're also aware that in this significant experience as a follower of Christ, we have purpose in the here and now, right? We have purpose in the here and now. We've got to eagerly await the coming of the Lord, right? I hope and I pray and I wait for that day when Jesus returns for his church. Amen? But don't keep your eyes set on what is to come and look past what is right in front of you. As you look around, just look around this room a little bit. I think about everybody's back in here, but as you look around, know these people that are around you, they need you. Right? The people that are around you, they need you. They might not tell you that they need you, but they need you. Right? The people in our lives, they need us. Find joy in the fact that while we're waiting, that God wants to use you to minister to the people that are around you. God wants to use you to reach those who need help, who need reaching. You get to be the teacher's helper, right? You get to be the one that does the work of God by his power, by his fulfillment. And so we've got to stand fast and strive together in the right here and the right now. Father, we just thank you and praise you this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you for these words of Paul and from his experience and what your Spirit instructed him to write. And Lord, I pray that today that we, as your people, that we would find joy in the here and now. That we would find joy in the place that you have us, in the surroundings, around the people that you've placed us around. That today that we would stand fast, that we would hold our ground, that we would not only defend these fiery darts of the wicked one, but that we would also advance the kingdom of God. Lord, use us. Lord, and I know as every person wants to be used by you, I pray that today on this Mother's Day that you would reveal to each person their gifts, their talents, the skills that you've placed within them to be able to minister to those around us. Lord, we know that you have a plan that is greater than our own. And Lord, I pray that as we long for that day, because we have joy and we have hope and we have this faith that is so powerful and so overwhelming, Lord, that as we wait for that day for you to come, that we don't lose sight of the things that are around us here today. Lord, show us, open our eyes, give us spiritual wisdom and knowledge in how we can reach those around us. Lord, I pray that today, as we walk out of this place, that we have the fullness of your Spirit on us. Lord, it's not our life is much less about what we do in these couple of hours in here, and it's so much more about what we do outside of here. So we just pray that the people of this church would be emboldened by your Spirit, that we will have the power of the gospel that's to salvation within us. And as we go out from this place, that you'll show us, Lord, show us how it is that we can be the teacher's helper, how we can be the one to minister to those around us, and that we can have joy in what we're doing right now, joy in the place that we're at, joy in the things that we're doing, because they're the place that you've put us, they're the place that you've called us to. And so we believe for all that today in Jesus' name. Amen.